This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
So, if you have your Bibles with you, anybody want to take a quick guess where I'm going to be? Where does he always go? I'll tell you why. Years ago, and I think I've told you this before, but for those of you who don't know, years ago I was doing a study on Revelation, I was doing a study on Daniel, and I have to tell you that this, sometimes when you're doing a study in the Word, and you can't just accept what everybody teaches about it, and you have to know for yourself. You have to. And how many of you know that you each, if you reside in Jesus Christ, how many of you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Okay. So with that, when somebody teaches you the Word, it's good to. The Bible says it's good to test the spirits. Don't quench the spirit, but test the spirits. And when that happens, what you're doing is you're taking the teaching and you're taking it in and you're going, is this something that needs to be planted within me? Is this something that needs to take root in who I am? Remember, you have the power over what gets planted in your garden. Amen? Okay. And so part of being aligned with the Holy Spirit is that when you take in the Word, does the Holy Spirit convict you of it? Does he say, yeah, that really resonates within me? Or do you go, I don't know that really resonates in me. I'm going to have to pray about it. I'm going to have to seek it out. I'm going to have to seek the matter out. And when you seek the matter out, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great things, secret things, which you don't know. Now, again, how many of you know that you have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit, how many of you know that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can receive those secret things that God wants to show you, right? So years ago, I'm studying Revelation, I'm studying Daniel, and I'm like, Lord, all the stuff that these guys teach out there, I'm struggling with it. I am struggling to receive it. I'm struggling to take it in. Is it truth? Is it not truth? Because right now, I'm really not believing that it's truth. And I need you to either allow it to resonate within me, allow it to take root in me, or to reveal truth. And it took years of praying it, guys, but finally the Lord just said to me in his very infinite wisdom, if you want to know the end, you got to go back to the beginning. So ever since I've gone back to the beginning, there has been so many revelations that I felt like has been revealed in the midst of that. And I think that in order to study the end, you can find out what the end means if you go back to the beginning and you study Scripture all the way through, because God doesn't ever contradict himself. Amen? The Word never contradicts itself. Amen? So I was talking with somebody yesterday at the breakfast here, and I said, I made that comment to them that, you know, studying Revelation, I really want to do a Bible study on Revelation, but I don't want to read Revelation. Like, I want to answer the best that I can. I want to answer Revelation using the rest of Scripture, using the Old Testament, using the New Testament. And I believe that you can do that. So I sat and I said that to that person, and she said, yeah, because why would God put this whole book together? You have 66 books. And the final book is this really obscure thing that means nothing to the rest of Scripture. Why would God do that? Right? Does that make sense? Why would God segregate this one book and make it this weird thing that you couldn't even begin to comprehend? Why would he segregate that from the rest of the Bible? So I have sought from the very beginning now to find out answers about the end. And in doing so, God has revealed so many different things to me. And so one of those things today that I wanted to dive into is Genesis in chapter 2. And it says this in verse 8. It says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Now, grab a hold of that, because I think a lot of people say, or a lot of people think, well, it's the tree of good and evil. No, it's not. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's a huge deal. When you grab a hold of that, this is about knowledge. This isn't about necessarily the good and the evil. That's part of it. But you have to realize that they were told not to eat from a tree that gave them knowledge of good and evil. They were told not to eat and gain knowledge of good and evil. Does that sit well with you guys? Because I'm not sure if it sat well with Adam and Eve. Because when Satan came along through the serpent says, well, did God really say that you can't eat from this tree? Well, or any tree in the garden. And he goes, or she goes, Eve goes, well, we can eat from any tree, but we can't eat or touch this tree here. And I'm wondering, when God gives you instruction, anybody in this room, when God gives you instruction, does it sit well with you, or does it not sit well with you? And when it doesn't sit well with you, what do you do with that instruction? How many of you, when you were growing up by your parents, were told to do something that you absolutely did not want to do? Did it sit well with you? And maybe your first inclination was to ask, why? Why should I do this? Why do you want me to do this? Why do I have to clean my room before I go outside? Why can't I do it later? Why do I have to get my homework done before I watch television or get on the internet or whatever? Why do I have to do these things now? And the answer was, you guys are well versed in that. Either you've been taught well or you're teaching your kids. Because I said so, yeah. I imagine that probably if I were Adam, I would have said, why? What's up with this tree? Why? And God would have said, because I said so. Just leave it alone. Don't worry about it. It's there. Don't worry about it. It's not for you. Okay. And so he tells Eve, who, by the way, he tells Eve, listen, don't even touch the tree. Because if we do, we're going to die. So just put it out of your mind. So I imagine Adam saw the severity of it at first, and he told Eve a little bit extra than what God told him. But what happens when you gain secondhand knowledge?
It always grows.
Say it again.
It always grows a little.
Changes.
And it kind of gets blown out of proportion. And when you have secondhand knowledge from something, do you tend to follow it as well as if you gain direct knowledge? Some of you are a little hesitant. If you get secondhand knowledge from somebody, is it easier to follow it or is it harder to follow it? It's harder to follow. So when Satan comes, who's he going to come to? The one who gets the firsthand knowledge or the secondhand knowledge? The secondhand knowledge. Okay, just maybe hold on to that for a little bit. So he says this. The Lord God planted a garden for the east in Eden. There would be placed the man whom he formed out of the ground. The Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of the life. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, a river flowed out of Eden toward the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. I'm wanting you to catch something about everything that God is doing right here. The first is the Pishon, and it flows throughout the whole land of Havilah where there's gold. The gold of that land is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris, and it flows east of Assyria. And the fourth is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden. So man wasn't created in the garden, right? He was created outside, and he took the man that he formed, grab a hold of this, and he placed him in the Garden of Eden. What's in the Garden of Eden? Every tree that is good for eating, every tree that is good for provision, every plant that will yield fruit, everything is in there that will give you life. Somebody say life. And he says, and the tree of life is in the middle of the garden. And then he planted this other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he said, don't eat from it. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Verse 16. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will die. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I just gave man this instruction. I gave man, the ladies, your ears are going to like this for a second. I gave man this instruction: cultivate, keep, guard the garden. And you can do anything you want. You can eat from anything you want. Just don't eat from this tree over here. Then God said, uh-oh. It's not good for man to be alone. Why did he say that? Because on his own, man's probably going to fall. On his own, man's probably going to fail. He needs a helper. He really needs somebody to really keep him in line. So he made all of these beasts, all of these birds and everything, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. But there wasn't anything or anyone that was suitable helper for him. So God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. And the Lord God fashioned into what? Ladies, that's you. You may say amen. Fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, everything that God set up, catches, everything that God set up was for provision, and everything that he set up was to give them, what's that L word? Life. To give them life. And he put the tree of life in the middle of the garden so that they would not just have life, but they would have it for how long? Forever. Now, did God say anything other than the knowledge of good and evil? Did God say anything about sin? No. I have to wonder, and this is a Jason thing. This is Jason seeking out God. Hopefully one day God will answer this question for me. But I have to wonder, and I've asked a few people this, but do you think that Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, did things that we call sin today? Do you think that they did things not knowing that it was sin? Or did they live? See, in my mind, I think, well, they lived in perfection. They had to live in perfection. But when God came down, this is the thing. When God came down after they had eaten from the knowledge of good and evil tree, when God came down, he said, who told you that you were naked? Did they become naked? They always were naked, weren't they? Who told you that you were this way? Who told you were of sin? Who told you these things? And then he said, did you eat from the what? The tree of what?
Knowledge.
Catch it. It's not the tree of good and evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the disobedience was this, that if I turn from God and I gain knowledge of good and evil on my own, and if I'm saying that I don't need God, but what one thing that they forgot was they were placed in a place that had provision. They were placed in a place where there were so many trees and so many plants that yielded fruit, and they had the tree of life that gave them what? And when they walked away from life, eternal life, for knowledge, they walked into what? Not life, but death. They walked into death. And so I want to flip over, if you've got your Bible or if you're in your Bible, let's flip over to Galatians. I want to show you something. When they were coming out of Egypt, and you can read this, if you're writing notes, do Deuteronomy 30. Read that for some time. Because Moses sets before them two things, a blessing and a what? Curse. He says, I set before you a blessing and a curse, life and death. And he says, if you love the Lord your God and you do what he commands of you, then you will have life. That will be a tree of life for you. If you don't do it, when you enter into the land, if you don't do it, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to die, but you're going to get kicked out. You're going to miss the blessings now. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, everything. And do what he commands you to do. If you do so, then you will experience life. You will experience blessing. That's in Deuteronomy 6, but also Deuteronomy 30. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3, because I want to show you what, when this comes, again, if you want to know the end, you got to go to the beginning. So God set before them two trees. Why is this important to you and I today? What the heck does it matter? And Paul says this in Galatians. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And I think I preached this a few weeks back, and I asked you the question. Did you receive by works of the law, or did you receive it by faith? You can answer. Good. Faith? So then he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by who? The Spirit." How many of you have the Holy Spirit? "Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Are you now being perfected by your works?" Somebody say amen, because we've got some works that are probably not of God going. "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by what? Faith. Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed in you." So I want to tell you this. A lot of Hebrew scholars and Jewish scholars will say that the tree of life is the law. And I want to tell you that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the law. Because what does the law show you? That you're a sinner. The law shows you that you cannot uphold the law. And it gives you a knowledge of what is good and what is right and what is wrong. Does that sound like the tree of life to you? Sounds to me like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what it goes on to further to say is that if you partake of it, this is in Romans, if you partake of the law, if you put yourself under the law, you are you blessed or are you cursed? You're cursed. What did God say to Adam in the garden? The tree of life will give you a blessing. It will give you life. The tree of the knowledge will bring death. So how do we have life then? The only way to have life, is it your works or Jesus' works? So the question is, what fruit are you eating today? Are you eating from the works of the law, the commandments, all those things? Are you working from the work of Jesus? What are you operating in? What fruit are you taking? In John, let's go to this, John chapter 5. I'm not sure if some of you are hitting this or not. God is so good, because I picked John about 5 days ago to read. I try to read a chapter a day. I'm not saying that I understand every chapter that I read, but I try to read a chapter a day and just kind of get things in context and whatever. And I pray about it. Well, I was in chapter 5, and the Holy Spirit really just pulled this from me today. He talked about equality with God. Now, see, I want to go to I got to find it. I'm sorry. Testimony, verse 36, maybe. "The testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I do, testify about who? Me." Jesus said, "Me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has testified to me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you." Now, these are Jewish Pharisees, teachers of the law, teachers of this. And he says, "You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search," verse 39, here it is, "you search the scriptures, because in them you think that you have" what? Eternal life. But he says, "It's these that testify about me." The scriptures testify about Jesus. "And if you are unwilling to come to me," Jesus, "so that you may have," and "you are unwilling to come to me," Jesus, "so that you may have life." What fruit are you eating from? What fruit are you taking from? Are you taking from the tree of life, or are you taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If you're taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it will lead you to death. If you're taking from the law, if you're taking the fruit from the law, it will lead you to death, because the law reveals that you're sinners. I'm not saying, please hear me, I'm not saying you can go out and sin. I'm not saying go out and live it up. What I am saying is your salvation does not come from the law or your works. It comes from Jesus. But we have to have that reminder each and every day. What fruit are you eating from? Because if Adam and Eve could fall, and they were supposedly perfect, if Adam and Eve can fall, you all can fall too. If Adam and Eve can fall living in perfection, you and I can fall living in this imperfect world. How much greater can we fall? And then somebody the other day, I'm going to give you the scripture to write down. It's in Micah. Somebody say Micah. I have it on my phone. Get this quicker. Micah 7, and it's verses 7 through 10. It says this: "As for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy, but though I fall, what will happen?
I shall rise
again. Though I fall," or "though I have fallen," some translations say, "though I have fallen, I shall rise again. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me." Yes. "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me out to the light. I will see his righteousness, and my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, 'Where is the Lord your God?' My eyes will look on her. At that time, she will be trampled down like the mire of the streets. The Lord is my light and my salvation." What tree are you eating from? What fruit are you eating from? Because if you're eating from the wrong fruit, it will lead you to death. Amen? But if you're eating from the tree of life, Jesus Christ, it will bring you to life. And life abundantly, and life eternally. Let's pray.
You've been listening to Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark. Hey, this is Pastor Jason. I wanted to invite you to our Sunday service at 9:30 a.m. It's low-key, come as you are. We're a pretty down-to-earth crowd. We come and worship and sing his praises. We dive into the Word of God, and we hang out and have fun. Not sure about it yet? Check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Join in on a live stream and see what we're about. While you're at it, check us out on the web at a2cchurch.com. That's A, the number 2, cchurch.com. Hope to see you soon.